Okay, let's turn again to John's Gospel, chapter 10. The beginning of verse, let me start from the beginning again from verse 1. Let's hear the word of God. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. And now, Heavenly Father, we once again ask your blessing as we open your word. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the scripture to us, that our hearts and our minds will be open to receive it. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. As we mentioned last week, Jesus is speaking allegorically in this passage to an audience that is comprised of disciples and enemies. He's got kind of a mixed audience here. And he uses the metaphors of sheep and shepherd and door and sheepfold to describe himself and to describe his followers. And he also uses the terms thief and robber to describe the false teachers. He's making it clear who, you know, that there are different sides in this world. There are different, you know, not teams, because teams sounds too friendly, but, you know, there are opposing factions. We mentioned that the sheepfold was a place of safety. It was a big walled area, and the sheep were held in there at night, and it was of sufficient size that the flocks of many different shepherds could be housed within those walls at night, and they usually were. But in the morning, when the shepherd returned, the shepherd would call his sheep, and only his sheep would come to him. Out of everything that was in there, only the shepherd's sheep could hear his voice. He calls them by name, and they follow him. It says, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You know, the voice is an amazing instrument. And almost everybody has one. Sometimes we say, yeah, sometimes it's a little, you know, turn the volume level down a little bit. But almost everybody possesses this instrument. And imagine, if you could, just for a second, the difficulty in communicating if you didn't have that voice. Now, my uncle just passed away here a couple weeks ago, prior to his passing some years ago, they had to remove his voice box, you know, his vocal cords come out. And he had to find another way to communicate. Now, he had a little gizmo that he could hold to his throat and it would pick up the vibrations. But mostly he ended up having to write everything out. Imagine having to do that. If that was your only means of communication. Now, sometimes I think it is, because if you live in this world today, people walk around like this. And it's like they're talking like crazy to somebody, never uttering a sound, you know. But it keeps getting out there. Our voice is a most important thing. And we use it for communication. We use it for in worship. in praise. We sing. We have each one of us has an ability to sing. Now, you'll say, I don't sing so good. Well, that's all right. That's your opinion. But when we're singing in worship, God hears beautiful music. And so he says to his people, sing. Use your voice. Make a joyful noise, if that's what it sounds like. Because God hears beauty in those praises and in that music. When a person in our life who we consider to be significant speaks, the words that they speak and the manner in which they're delivered can cause different reactions to us. That we may be in a situation where simply hearing a voice causes us to fear. And again, we may also hear that voice, and the minute we hear the tone of that voice, we're given some assurance. We're given some comfort. In Genesis 3, after Adam had eaten of the fruit, we're told that he hears the voice of God as he's walking in the cool of the evening. And Adam hides himself because the voice scared him. It never had before, but it did then. When I was little, as you can imagine, I was always a little angel. Never did anything wrong. And my mother would have a very calming way of communicating to me that, wait till your father gets home. And when Dad got home, you know, you'd hear that voice, and all of a sudden, your heart started racing. Palpitations started occurring. You got that little level of fear because, you know, my parents never lied. Ever. If my mom said she was going to turn me over to my dad when he got home, it happened. Oh, it happened inevitably. It happened. And if my dad ever said, you're getting a spanking, he didn't lie. That wasn't just something to get me nervous. He delivered. So when his voice would speak in certain tones, that caused fear. At the same time, in Hebrews 13, Jesus says this. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Those are words of comfort. Those are words of truth. Because the Lord doesn't lie. He can't. The voice of the Good Shepherd brings peace to our hearts and our souls. Christ's sheep know his voice. We hear the voice of the Lord when God's word is read or when it's preached. We hear it. And if we are believers in Christ, that word is recognized within us by the Holy Spirit that's living within us, that's dwelling within us. When God's word is read, there is a union, there is an accord that occurs. And sometimes that accord might make you fearful because maybe you've been, you know, slacking a little bit. Maybe you've been a little slothful. Maybe you've been guilty of sin. And the words of the Lord coming to you make you convicted. Other times, you might be at the end of your rope and you're opening it up to the Word of God and hearing the words of the Lord love you hear them bringing you peace, bringing you comfort. We hear the voice of the Lord. As his sheep, we hear and we follow. What does that mean, to follow? It means we obey him. We do as he instructs us out of love. This fourth verse again, he says, when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him. You know, it's a lot easier to follow when somebody's actually leading. Only Barack Obama would say we could lead from behind. Did that ever make sense? Never. Yeah, we're leading from behind. Yeah, you ever seen, you've seen, I like old movies. And sometimes you get one of these old comedies where, you know, there's a dangerous situation. And the guy said, the other guy said, what are you afraid of? You know, there's no problem. You just go right ahead on in there. I'll be right behind you. It's easier to follow when we're actually being led. And the shepherd, the true shepherd, is out front. He's not driving the sheep. He's leading the sheep. He knows the sheep by name. He calls them. And the sheep just follow along. It's important for us to remember as we live our lives and experience the things that we experience, that there is no place that we are led that he hasn't been there first. The Lord God is always in front. He's always leading out front. He's always clearing the way. He leads. We follow. Because we trust him. The Lord will never take us through a difficult area and let us be on our own. He's always leading us there. He's always taking us through that. He's there with us. He doesn't stand behind you and say, all right, keep moving. Just keep moving. Don't worry about those things that are falling in front of you. Just keep moving. It's not the way it works. He leads us through. He doesn't push us through. We recognize his voice and we follow it. He says, when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. When we know the truth, it makes it far easier to recognize error. When we know the Master's voice, it will produce a response or a reaction within us when an alien speaks. You know, we'll have that variance. And in no way does the sheep follow the stranger. In no way does the sheep follow the imposter. They flee from him. And Jesus, you know, he refers to those who would seek to get at the sheep in some other way as thieves and robbers. He understands that they don't have a voice that the sheep recognize, that the sheep hear. He understands that the stranger stirs up the sheep, gets them worked up, you know. And he refers to these false shepherds as strangers. Jesus says, look, I am the door. You got to go through me. The thieves and the robbers are not coming through the door. They're coming in some other way, and they're coming after you some other way. These thieves and robbers were not sent by him. They don't know Christ. They don't preach Christ. They don't really care for the sheep. Yeah. That's why, you know, if I can backtrack just a skosh, it's important for us to know the truth. You can spend as much time as you possibly can studying the truth. I know some guys that feel like, you know what, I have to study Mormonism so I recognize the errors of the Mormons. I got to know what the Jehovah's Witnesses are, or what they believe, so when I encounter them, I can hit them at their low spots, you know, whatever kind of a thing. The truth of the matter is, you need to know the truth. And when you know the truth, the error is blatant. And it's you refute it from where you stand, in the truth that you stand in. You don't have to, the Mormon says that Jesus is a created being. He's really Lucifer's brother, and they just went different directions, whatever. And you say, okay, that's nonsense. That's not true. The Bible says Jesus is God. Jesus is the second member of the Godhead. He's the Word. And Jesus took upon himself the cloak of flesh to carry out his Father's mission, to redeem his people. Know the truth, and error will, you'll recognize error. You don't need to know all the different aspects of the error and those other things. Same goes with some who pass themselves off as Christian ministers. And the problem is that some of the sheep may temporarily, anyway, fall for a stranger. I know people who have the testimony of being Christian who will swear by Joyce Meyer. And Joyce Meyer is a heretic. You ought not be listening to Joyce Meyer. She's a heretic. She does not preach the truth. She sprinkles her philosophy with truth, but she's a philosopher. And others of that ilk. The true believer in Christ will not abide from hearing a false shepherd like that for the long term. We'll reject the false teachers and we'll cling to the truth that is given to us by the true shepherd. Jesus is teaching these people, but they're not getting it. He's speaking to them ways that they don't normally teach. And so when they're hearing this thing, it's kind of strange to them. He says, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. Now that might cause us to question. That might make us pause for a minute and stand back and say, what's Jesus talking about? All who came before him were thieves and robbers? Well, who all came before him? There were plenty of Old Testament prophets that came before Jesus. Were they thieves and robbers? What about John the Baptist? John the Baptist was his forerunner. John preached. Was the Baptist a thief and a robber? Not at all. Jesus is not lumping the prophets and John the Baptist into that thing. Primarily, he's focused on these guys that are sitting right in front of him. The thieves and robbers are the Pharisees who sat there sitting before him, who have been trying to lead the people along into this bondage to maintain power for themselves. They were false teachers. So Jesus says to them, I am the door. You got to come through me. I and I alone am the door. There is absolutely no other access to the kingdom of God. Years ago, the Cleveland Browns had a head coach. His name was Sam Ritigliano. And Sam had a profession of faith. And he worked with a lot of the guys on the teams, guys who were had drug-related problems and things like that, and he tried to, you know, bring them to the Lord. But Sam said something one time that always stuck in my craw. Somebody asked him one time in an interview about his faith, whatever, and he said to them, there are many roads to the top of Mount Fuji. And I said, well, that may be true, but there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. So if you're going to Mount Fuji and you're going for a ride, there might be a few roads, but there's not a lot of ways to heaven. Jesus said, I am the door. I alone am the door. And none but the sheep, this is kind of important, none but the sheep will enter that door. There's no strays getting in. It's an exclusive situation. None but the sheep will enter the door, and all who are sheep will enter that door. All of them. Again, I'm kind of jumping around a little bit, but Jesus is not accusing the Old Testament prophets of being thieves and robbers. He said, no, they weren't. He's not accusing John the Baptist. He was not a thief and a robber. These guys all preached the coming Messiah, and they all pointed to Jesus. They all preached Jesus. Jesus was pronouncing against false messiahs and even possibly not possibly, definitely, this crowd that's sitting here in front of them. So the sheep did not hear the thieves and robbers. The sheep did not hear the false teachers. They didn't have a voice that was recognizable by them. They weren't hearing their speech. They weren't hearing the positions that they were taking, and they weren't even hearing the intimidation that was being brought against them for saying, you know, you can't be believers in Christ. He was not talking about that. All of those things that occurred to the other people in the area held no persuasion over the sheep, over the true church. And now Jesus makes a guarantee. I'm going to wrap this up real quick. Jesus makes a guarantee. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. If anyone puts their complete faith in Christ alone, they will be saved. He didn't say they might be saved. He didn't say they could hope to be saved. He said they will be. Is your faith in Christ today? Is that where you've placed your faith? Is it in Christ alone? Is your hope of heaven based entirely upon the work of Christ? And Jesus says, you will be saved. Guaranteed. You don't have to think about it. On those days when you maybe have messed up a little bit, on those days where maybe you're not feeling so Christian, on those days, don't matter what you feel. It matters what is. And what is the Word of God. Jesus said, you will be saved, if that's where your faith is. To those whose faith is in Christ, he promises freedom. The freedom of going in and out. That's entering and coming back into the sheepfold. Going back into the safety of the sheepfold, going out to the pasture. Going out in that. And what does that mean in real terms, in practical terms for us? Because most of us aren't walking around on all fours and eating grass, you know what I mean? To go out to the green pasture means to find the place where the food is good, where the doctrine is sound. Jesus says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. It's the doctrine that he teaches. We have the freedom to receive that if we are in Christ. We have the freedom to know the joy of the sacraments, to know what it is to be baptized, to enjoy the feast of his table. We're in Christ. We have the freedom to go in and out the pasture. We have in Christ the privilege of conversing with Almighty God in prayer. I don't know if you ever think about that. But here is the sovereign God of the universe. The greatest being ever who allows us to talk to him through Christ. Hey, well, there's some highfalutin big shots in this world where you can't even get close enough to say hello. Some of these wackos out in Hollywood, they're so, you know, involved with themselves. You know, their fans will say hello and they'll just turn and look the other way and ignore them, whatever. Because don't they realize who I am? Well, they're certainly not I am. And yet Almighty God allows us to talk to him. And he's the only one that can do anything about anything. No? I'm guessing none of y'all won $1 billion the other night. I know you're saving it up for Tuesday. It's more than that now. He allows us to go out to the green pastures of these things and allows us to come back into the safety of the sheepfold. He allows us, he draws us, he encourages us, he speaks to us and brings us back into the sheepfold under his ever-watching eye and his ever-protecting hand that's about us at all times. I pray it with sincerity over our children. Yeah, sometimes you start thinking, maybe I'm turning into an old fogey. But the world of today is not the world that we grew up in. It's a lot more dangerous. People, kids have access to electronic things for fun that other people can access them through those electronics that have evil intentions. When I was little, we could go out and play in the street under the street light. Now you wouldn't dare do that. When I was little, we went into the stores without having to be watched every single second for fear that somebody was going to come snatch us away. It's not that way now. There are evil people out there working under the hand of the evil one that want to destroy lives. And so having our faith in Christ, he says that we have the freedom to go in and out and find pasture, to come back in to the sheepfold where we feel his safety and his security. And the hand of God is on us always anyway. The sheep are never outside of the eye of the shepherd. He's always watching. He's always caring. He's always leading. And he's always loving. Let's pray.